Why am I? Is there anyone out there who will love the real me? In our desire to be wanted, we search far and wide for love and purpose. The lucky ones find it once or twice, but our hearts always break for more. We wonder again, is my life worth anything at all? On a silent night in the little town of Bethlehem, our questions were answered once and for all when love came down. Someone born to pursue us. He lived to save us and died to set us free. Man or woman, young or old, no matter how many questions you have, all you are cost him all he had. And the only reason is this. He thought you were worth it. The only real question is, will you let love come down to you?
And the to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Welcome to Gateway Fellowship tonight. Would you stand? We're so excited. It's Christmas Eve, and guess what? As you know, it's snowing outside. Isn't that fun? Yeah. We're so excited that you're here. If you're joining us online, we want to say a special welcome to you. We're going to sing some great songs tonight, hear some great stories, silent night with candles. But first, let's sing Joy to the World. Here we go. Lift your voice.
And nature sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ he everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenborn Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, raised with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. And if you're with family, you're visiting from out of town, it's really an honor to have you. Thanks for joining us here at Gateway. For those of you joining us online, you stayed home because it's snowing. I have a question, just one question. Which one of you prayed for snow? Raise your hand. We're going to blame you for it. Hey, have a seat, and as you do, say hi to the person beside you. You do that? Well, once again, thank you. My name is Tom, and I serve on the team here at Gateway, and it's just a privilege to have you. Here's what I want to invite you to do. Throughout this evening, about an hour, or less than an hour now that we'll be together, I just want to invite you to join in how you feel most comfortable. You may want to join in. The words will be on the screen. You can sing. You can stand if you want to stand. If we invite you to stand and you want to sit, then sit. It's okay. So I want to just free you to be comfortable tonight and join in together as we remember what we celebrate, who we celebrate this evening. Amen. Amen.
Hi, my name is Jason, and I have a question for you. Who am I? Why am I? Is there anyone out there who will really love? Is there purpose? Is there meaning in life? Is there something more? These questions have been asked for thousands of years. People have been searching to try to fill the void, to try to fill something that's inside. We've searched far and wide. We've tried all kinds of different things. But there's still a longing. There's still a hunger for something more. People have been trying to find that for thousands of years. Tonight you may be here. You may be wondering, is there anything more? Is this real? Is life real? There was a man in the late 1970s in Chicago. He was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. His wife had decided she was interested in finding out who Jesus was. They were actually agnostics, really atheists. But his wife was curious. This infuriated him. His name was Lee. He was a Chicago Tribune reporter. In fact, he decided that he was going to disprove that Jesus was real. He said, it's a myth. He told his wife, you're out of your mind, and I'm going to prove it. So he spent months, actually well over a year, he spent months talking to experts, historical experts, archaeologists, talking to all kinds of different people from all walks of life to try and disprove that Jesus existed, and that the reason he came was ultimately to die on the cross and be resurrected. He went from person to person, Finally said to one man, he said, that's not what I was asking you, and that's not the answer I was looking for. He was a skeptic. In fact, we at Gateway here, we invite you to ask those questions. You might be skeptical. You might have doubts. You might have fears. You might be wondering, there's something more, but I just can't find it. Lee came down to the conclusion that Jesus was real. He came to the conclusion that based on empirical scientific evidence, this must have happened. He was distraught. See, he was longing for something. We all long for something. The reason Jesus came to this earth is because of you, because you were worth it. So while we're searching, we might sing a song that goes something like this. O come, Emmanuel.
Joy. It was Christmas Day of 1999, and I found myself standing in the middle of my California apartment, packing up my kids and I's belongings and loading them onto a U-Haul truck. See, my whole family, we went up to Washington for Thanksgiving, and the plan was that my kids and I would stay in Washington and my husband would go back down to California and come back for Christmas, and we'd celebrate Christmas and go back down as a happy family. But a couple weeks after Thanksgiving, my husband of 5 years and the father of my two children decided he no longer wanted to be married. So he called me on the phone and asked for a divorce. He'd been having an affair with a coworker, my only friend in California. So this man who I had fallen in love with at the age of 14, my love of my life, was gone. My hopes and dreams for this family that I had were crushed. And I was alone. I felt unworthy of love. I felt unworthy of happiness, and I had no self-worth. I felt like I had failed my marriage. And in the years following, every time Thanksgiving would roll around, this anger, this bitterness, this sadness, this despair would hit once again. And I mustered all the strength I had to just kind of hide that and give my kids what they needed so that they didn't feel that same void that I felt, that they would know that the holidays are a happy time. And I despised Christmas. I hated it for the memories that I had that were linked to it. Until one day, one Sunday morning, on February 11th, 2011, I met a man, and he promised to be faithful, and he promised to love me, and he promised that if I casted my cares unto him, he would take those cares from me because he loved me. He made me feel secure, he made me feel loved, he made me feel worthy. That man is Jesus. He changed my life. He brought joy and happiness back into my life. And every Christmas from that point on, I realized it wasn't about the sad memories that I had, but the hope and the joy that God himself sent his son onto this earth for the forgiveness of our sins so that we would have everlasting life, that I would have everlasting life. What greater love? And so now, God has redeemed me, he's restored me, he has filled me with love and a purpose, and I can do nothing more than to worship him, especially during this season where we celebrate his birth. So let us worship him tonight as I sing this song.
Let us worship. My story is about a young man. Well, he's 45, but he's my nephew, so he still has to be a young man. His name is Mark. And in August of this year, Mark, who is a believer, has a family, was diagnosed with lung cancer in both lungs. And he decided that he was going to blog his journey, this journey that the Lord had put him on. And even before they did the brain scan and found 18 more tumors, and even before the doctors told him, you shouldn't be walking or talking, let alone being alive, he knew that God had a purpose for what he was going through. He knew that whatever God had for him in store for him, it was going to be for his glory and in his timing. And through this blog, it's been really a blessing for our family too, and there's the hundreds of people that follow him. And just to see not only his faith shine and his encouragement of others when they're down, and he's very honest about the struggles that he's going through and the things that are happening to his body, but the pure explosion of him knowing that he knows that he knows that he knows that Christ is on the throne, that Christ is, his name is Jesus, and that whatever he has for Mark and his family, Mark is along for the ride, and he really can't wait to see what's next. And he has said over and over again, his name is Jesus, and he is my Lord, and his name is Jesus.
Thank you. Christ our Savior. Oh, he is Jesus, King forever, our Redeemer. He is Jesus.
No, I think if we went around the room, the main floor, balcony, the overflows, and if there's somehow we could reach online, I think we'd hear some of the same stories, wouldn't we? Life has maybe taken a right-hand turn, caught us by surprise, and suddenly we begin to have a lot of questions, and maybe like Sue's nephew, tragic circumstances seemingly come into our life, or Jason, the man that you were describing, just a little bit, who was searching for life and purpose and for meaning, and maybe your story looks a little bit more like Teresa's here, where your self-worth, purpose in life is maybe found more in another person than it is in the person of Jesus. The good news is he's the great redeemer, isn't he? He redeems our story, where it seems like the enemy wants to take away. God gives a story of grace and strength and faithfulness. Where a person is searching, he comes in that person's life and reveals himself in a way that's understood by that person. And Teresa, where someone walks out, he prepares someone to walk into your life. He did, brought you a great husband, I know, and your family's growing. He's a great redeemer. So we have stories, and so maybe your story is one of redemption. But maybe it looks a little bit more like these that you have heard or something like that, where the enemy has come in, tried to steal something away, tried to take away from you. Well, what we sing about and what we talk about is the one who comes in and gives purpose and gives hope and brings a brand new life into our lives. And it's hope and it's purpose and it's joy, and his name is Jesus. In just a few moments, Mario is going to lead us as we gather around his table again this morning. We observe open communion. That is, if you're a follower of Jesus, then we invite you to come around the table with us. You don't need to be a member of this church. The host team will come and serve you in just a moment. But let's remember that as we do so, we come to a table that no man could prepare, that no man could set. He is the only one who could set this table. That's how much he loves you. And that's how much he loves me. He gave his life for us. Let's continue to worship, shall we?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
Oh, voices. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Well, we come and we adore this miracle that took place. And it's this time of season that we come and we reflect on the life of Jesus, that he was born. And in that moment, everything changed in which he was born. The Savior had come, and he was on a trajectory. And if the story was simply that God had come as a baby and that was the end, while it would be a nice story, it would be incomplete. It would leave us in a state in which there would be no hope. But God came with a purpose. And the purpose was, as Jesus, his son, was born, he lived among us, knowing that he would eventually die on a cross. And it was because Jesus gave his life that he chose to live that way, that he died on a cross, fully God and fully man. He made a way for us to have a relationship with our Father. And so this evening as we come to that moment in which, while we recognize Jesus as a baby at one point, we recognize that he was also a Savior that was on his way to the cross. And on that night before he was betrayed, on the night that he was betrayed, he was gathered with his disciples. And as they were there at the table, he reminded them of the very meal that they were eating together in that moment, one that represented something that had taken place long ago, that it was actually representing the moment that was about to take place. He was helping them realize that this body, this bread that was being broken in front of them, was to represent his body. And that's what he said to the men that were with him that day. He said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Take and eat." So let's do that together right now. And he helped the guys that were there to recognize what was about to happen to him, that his blood would be poured out on the cross, that there would be a new way of relating with God. And so he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you, a new covenant. Let's take and drink together." Let's pray. Jesus, we do give you thanks that you chose to come, that you didn't have to, but you chose to come knowing what was ahead. You chose to come and die on a cross that we might be able to experience life. Your death made a way for life. We give you thanks for that this evening. We recognize the sacrifice, even though we cannot fully comprehend. We want to say we recognize it and we give you thanks. Lord, may this season of celebrating your birth also be a remembrance of what you did on our behalf so that we could have a relationship with you. We give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Mario. We come to that time now, the lighting of the candles. And Mario and I are just going to give a little demonstration of how we're going to do that, because it's important to keep you safe and to keep from burning the place down. So
it's a good idea.
Anyway,
yeah, let's do that way.
If you're holding the unlit camera, the unlit candle, if you'll be the one to turn it in like this here.
And do not go that way.
That's it. Don't turn it that way. Just hold it straight. The next person will do the same.
Yeah.
We'll get them all lit, and then we'll sing Silent Night together. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you.
giant choir we sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother.
Thank you, Jesus, that you came into this world as the light of the world. In your name, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. If you'll be so kind, when you leave, if you just drop your candle in the, there's a box for them, that would be great. Thank you again on behalf of all of us for coming tonight. And from all of us to you, Merry, Merry Christmas. Drive careful on your way home. Oh, one more thing. Thank you, Jason. Just for those of you, we had four gatherings throughout the day. And for those of you now who are from Gateway, Gateway's your home church, I'm just talking to you. When you leave, there'll be offering buckets. I know some come prepared to give their regular offering, regular tithes and offerings. So a host team will be at the doors. That's for Gateway people. If you're a guest with us today, I'm just going to ask you to pass right on by the bucket, okay? You don't need to worry about that. So thank you so very, very much. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Drive safe. Thank you, sweetheart.
Well, I'm going to talk tomorrow. Yeah.
Great job.
Good job.
Great job. Great job.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.